You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 171. And as you settle in and wonder what today's show is going to be about, it's going to be a little bit different, just a little bit different. The theme is synchronicity, which does, of course, relate to dreams in the way that I'm going to weave it in today. But what's actually going to happen is I'm going to bring you three articles that I have written on my blog. Each concerns synchronicity in some way. One of them, each of them brings in the word synchronicity, and one of them talks about synchronicity a lot. And at the end of the three articles, I've then done a little exercise of looking through some of my books and bookmarking places where I've talked about synchronicity. I've written quite a lot of books, so I've just picked three books. I've picked 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, Dream Alchemy, and The Shape of Things to Come, which was quite an interesting exercise for me because I don't know about other authors, but one thing you really don't do is read your own books. You know, when you get them back from the publisher, or when on the day that the book is launched, you read them once and then that's it. So it was quite interesting to go back and see what similarities and what differences I had in my approaches in those three books to writing about synchronicity. So at the end of the three articles, I'm going to read excerpts from those books on synchronicity. And then, if you're still with me at the end, a really interesting idea came up for me while I was sorting through those books in the last half hour. And I want to share it with you, and I want to get your feedback and ideas on it. So do stay for the end. Don't do it by fast-forwarding. Stay with me. I hope this show will be interesting. Oh, and by the way, this isn't one of those episodes where we have a guest on the show, but you've probably just realised that by now. Before we go any further, just giving you the contact details in case you've happened upon this and would like to find out about me in other ways beyond audio, you can go to my website, which is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or find me on Facebook. Synchronicity. The first article I'm going to read you, I only wrote a month ago. It's on my blog. It was put on my blog on October the 1st, 2015. And it's called Sting's Dream of the Blue Turtles. How creative is your dreaming mind at weaving what's happening around you while you sleep into a dream? Someone knocking on your door, an alarm clock that fails to wake you, a snoring partner, a cooking smell, a cold blast of air can all find their ways into a dream, but usually in a surreal way. Should we read into the way our dreams introduce these stimuli into the dream plot, consider it part of the interpretation, or simply smile and applaud the magnificence of our sleeping creativity? Sting, the singer-songwriter, had such a dream, for which he named his first solo album, The Dream of the Blue Turtles. I came across the dream in his book Lyrics by Sting, which is published by Simon & Schuster. So this is the excerpt from his book. I dreamed I was sitting in the walled garden behind my house in Hampstead, under a lilac tree, on a well-manicured lawn, surrounded by beautiful rose bushes. Suddenly, the bricks from the wall exploded into the garden, and I turned to see the head of an enormous turtle emerging from the darkness, followed by four or five others. They were not only the size of a man, they were also blue and had an air of being immensely cool, like hepcats, insouciant and fearless. They didn't harm me, but with an almost casual violence commenced to destroy my genteel English garden, digging up the lawn with their claws, chomping at the rose bushes, bulldozing the lilac tree, total mayhem. That's the way Sting talked about his dream. Sting had this dream on his first night in Barbados, where he'd gone to record the new album. He was woken from the dream by the sound of one of the jazz musicians he'd just recruited riffing wildly on his tenor sax in the room above him. The bluesy jazz upstairs had become the cool blue turtles wrecking his peaceful sleep. But was there more to this? How else might the sound of the sax have woven into Sting's dream? There are 100 million ways. Consider even the smallest of variations. The blue turtles dancing and singing mayhem instead of ripping up the garden. Or totally crowding out the space, a sea of turtles swimming in roses. Or one might have burst out into dream song under the lilac tree, giving a new rendition of lilac wine. It's what the dreamy mind does with the intrusion, how it works it into the fabric of the dream that is revealing. Why did Sting's dream choose the destruction of the garden theme? Was it as simple as the music destroying his lovely, peaceful dream? Why not a less violent intrusion, the singing, dancing, mayhem version, instead of the chomping and bulldozing? Sting was in Barbados to record his first solo album after leaving his previous band, The Police. The band had just enjoyed the huge success with their Synchronicity album, yet Sting was ready to move on, saying he needed to follow his instincts. Quote, no matter how irrational they seemed to everyone else, unquote, and he particularly looked forward to more creative freedom. No doubt his dreams were processing his conscious and unconscious pros and cons. Were there shades of his irrational instincts let loose in those blue turtles ripping up his genteel English sensibilities and values, breaking through previous musical or personal limitations, creating mayhem en route to a new order? And why turtles? Had Sting noticed turtles in Barbados? Had one of his musicians had a turtle kind of face? Did Sting associate jazz and blues with very old men all turtle-headed or turtle-necked? Or was there significance in the way his dreamy mind transposed the music into aquatic creatures quite happily thriving in a fish-out-of-water kind of way in the garden? How comfortable does an Englishman in New York, I mean Barbados, feel? Those were lyrics from another of his songs, I'm a Legal Alien, I'm an Englishman in New York. Turtles have shells to protect them, shells they can retreat into. Just as Sting, in his dream, enjoyed his peaceful, safe retreat within the protective walls of his English garden. In dream analysis, spotting a motif is usually a strong clue to the deeper meaning of the dream. For one, I'm glad Sting followed his instincts, whether they were to retreat from the police to tend a new garden or to open himself in a Shiva-like mayhem, digging up and bulldozing old ways, creating space for the new, which turned out to be something quite wonderful. Actually, aren't they much the same? So, we mentioned Synchronicity, just one word in the article, but towards the end there, you'll have noticed that I talked about how spotting a motif is usually a stronger clue to the deeper meaning of a dream. So stay with that motif idea, because that comes back when we talk more about Synchronicity from the book excerpts later. The next article is one I blogged about on the 21st of July 2015, and I give these dates in case you want to go into the blog and read the written version, which is exactly the same, but you know, hearing and reading are different things sometimes. And this one I called Dream Consultation by Email and A Tale of Two Feathers. I get the message. Or should I say, I got the message through a series of emails I received from various people and through the tale of two feathers, which I am about to share. What was the message? Well, you probably noticed part of it emblazoned in the title of this short blog, but I'm eager to tell you the far more exciting and mysterious story of the two feathers first. 4 months ago, as I began the process of merging my websites into a more streamlined and contemporary site, the one you can visit now, I engaged a branding stylist and a web designer to use their exquisite arts to communicate mine. My art is the work I do. Their arts include the design of symbols, images, graphics, and web architectural technology to communicate my work in visuals. I received the gift of seeing my art interpreted and portrayed through their eyes, which in turn helped me to recognize the subtleties of my offerings. At the same time, I was doing some yoga breathing work with a pranayama yoga specialist to liberate a persistent cough that was eager to be heard. He did his magic, and my art was free to breathe more fully into my work. The next day, I walked the few hundred meters to the yoga studio, swung my mat from my back, and unrolled it onto the floor. Out popped a beautiful, iridescent green feather. It was a lorikeet feather, and it must have fallen from the sky into my rolled mat during that very short walk. Quite a feat, quite a shiver up the spine. 2 days later, I took a t-shirt off the hook on the back of our bedroom door, and as I slipped it on, I saw something silvery glinting on one of the shoulders. It was a mysterious silver earring, a silver feather hanging on a silver dream catcher. Whose earring was this? And how did it end up hooked onto my t-shirt, a t-shirt that I'd worn briefly a couple of times before hanging it on the hook a few days before? It turned out to belong to my daughter-in-law, Natalie, who was staying with us at the time. "Where did you find that?" she asked. "I haven't seen it for 4 months." There were actually more than two feathers to this tale as the magic and mystery continued to emphasize the alchemy. I interpreted these occurrences and the theme in meaningful ways, always also noticing the connection between a feather and writing, a quill, and being a dream analyst, the dream catcher. So, last month I had a number of emails from various people asking me to bring back the email dream interpretation service. Dream consultation by email was the first long-distance service I offered in the days before phone and Skype consultations. It seems there's a growing demand for the written words again. Some of the reasons cited included preference for the written word over the spoken, time to reread and absorb the written word, English not being a person's first language, hearing or speaking challenges, time zone working hour challenges in booking sessions, shyness, and being able to build a physical record of the dream interpretations over time. So I got the message. I had overlooked the value of the email service of crafting insight into dreams in healing written words. I have refined the service. It is different from its previous incarnation, and it's different from a phone consultation. Actually, there are two email services, perhaps echoing the two feathers: dream consultation by email and guiding insight by email. I'm dipping my quill in my ink. You know, since writing that blog only 3 or 4 months ago, I mentioned there how the email dream interpretation service is different from a Skype or phone consultation service. Don't do Skype anymore. How things change. When we moved our house and office, we moved into an area where the internet is not too brilliant when you're paying for high quality service. So we had to rethink that one and actually realize that there were far more benefits in phone consultations than Skype. So it actually enabled me to see a whole area of offering services that were actually better than Skype. So just to be clear, and before we go on to the next email, in case you're listening to this and going, Skype, I want a Skype consultation. Or where did the Skype consultations go? The non-email ones are now consultations, unless you're in Brisbane and they're face-to-face, are consultations by phone. So there's my landline phone and there's my mobile or cell phone. And the way it works is you either call them in the conventional way, or you can use Skype to phone my landline, or Skype to phone my cell, or you can use WhatsApp to connect to call me on the mobile phone, or on the cell, or whatever you call it in your area of the world. So having clarified that, tell me about your dream. I only wrote this one a couple of weeks ago on it's blogged on October the 29th, 2015. And this leads into the readings on synchronicity from my books and the thing that I want to share with you and ask you about. But first, tell me about your dream. We welcome dream reader Jane Teresa onto The Breakfast Show, a radio presenter announced earlier this morning, and I had to smile to myself. There it was again. Call it synchronicity, a prod from the universe, or meaningful coincidence. Those two words, dream reader, gave me the thumbs up for the blog idea I had scribbled on my notepad late last night. What qualifications do you need to be a dream analyst? Or to work as a dream interpreter, dream therapist, dream alchemist, or dream reader? Who offers accreditation to work in any of these fields? And what kind of dream work do these labels imply? A quick Google reveals various dream courses, mostly online courses, some of which offer their own certificate of accreditation. There are also sturdier courses of 1 to 3 years duration in broader subjects such as Jungian psychology, depth psychology, or different schools of psychotherapy that include dream work specific to their niche. You can sail through most psychology college and university courses without studying dream work in depth or at all, though many include a very basic introduction to the history of dream work or offer optional modules in different approaches and theories. As a psychology student, such study may be rewarding and enrich your professional work when you graduate. As a consumer, don't expect your psychologist to have the tools to understand or work with your dreams. If this is important to you, ask if they specialised in this area during their degree or in their postgraduate or professional development studies. There's an art and a science to dream work, a time to use the head, a time to use techniques and tools, a time to use the heart, a time to use intuition, a time to read at a more psychic level, a time to work with the body, a time to work with the mind, a time to work with the soul, and a time to heal. No wonder so many job titles spring to mind. Would you prefer to consult a dream analyst or a dream reader or a dream interpreter, a dream therapist, a dream alchemist, a dream counselor, a dream worker, a dream group facilitator, a dream doctor? The essence, I have found, is to be practiced and proficient at all these levels and then simply to be present for each dreamer, knowing that what needs to unfold will unfold, and what needs to happen will happen, as it always does. And I'm not going to go into the details now, but I do actually offer 3 training courses in my methods of dream work, which you can find at the website. So, the excerpts from the books that I chose. You might hear the shuffle of paper here as I look for which ones I yes, I've got it. Shuffle, 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 paper, paper, paper. I'm going to start with this book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, which was published in 2007, which is still available in paperback form from me on my website or from various places you can find it online if you Google. And we do also sell an ebook version through my website. I wrote this book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, as intending it to be a kind of relatively light but helpful and practical read for people that didn't really want to go into the deep dream analysis but wanted somewhere to go to pick up some tips on how to approach dreams. So I'm starting with that one. And this is tip 75 called When Your Dream Symbols Appear in Waking Life, which is really what synchronicity is. What does it mean when symbols from a dream start appearing in waking life? Here's what usually happens. You have a dream featuring, for example, a red bucket. You wake in the morning and trip over your toddler's toy red bucket in the hall. You dismiss this, thinking you must have seen that bucket there before you went to bed. Later that morning, you find a flyer tucked under your windscreen wiper in your car. It features a red bucket and turns out to be an ad for a hardware store. You smile and think, that's odd. Stopped at the lights, a boy asks if you'd like your windscreen washed. He carries a red bucket of water. And when you go to the movies that evening, you are presented with a complimentary giant serve of popcorn in a red bucket-shaped container. By now, the appearance of so many red buckets in one day seems eerily significant and deeply meaningful, only you have absolutely no idea what they mean. This phenomenon is synchronicity. The interesting thing is that some dreams produce far more synchronicities than you might normally notice. The theme of a dream is its motif. If you look deeper, you'll often see your motif dream symbol repeating the next day in modified or cryptic forms. Here's an example. Imagine you dreamed of a memory stick computer accessory. Since this book was written, that is now, of course, a USB. But let's stick with a memory stick computer accessory because it works. The next day, you'll hear someone on the radio talking about memory sticks. Then you see an article on memory titled, When Memory Sticks. An hour later, you notice a child playing a memory-improving game featuring stick-like figures. At work, you keep getting someone's name wrong as if your memory is stuck. And at home in the evening, a CD sticks repeating the same piece of music. Only one of these synchronicities looks anything like a memory stick, but the others are equally significant echoes of the dream motif. Sometimes you experience the synchronicities in the absence of a dream, or so you think. In these cases, it is most likely that you've simply not recalled the dream. So, what does synchronicity mean? When you experience synchronicity, go back to the dream and interpret it thoroughly, because the dream theme is so powerful that it is already symbolically manifesting in your life. Many people think of synchronicity as a positive sign to follow. They will follow red buckets and memory sticks as if they lead to pots of gold. But synchronicity is not necessarily a sign to follow. It is a symbol shouting loudly from your dream, spilling into your waking life. It is the symbolic beginning of a manifestation. If you interpret your dream and you like the way the wind is blowing, follow the signs. If you don't like the wind is blowing, check tip 74 and change your future. So, leaving you on that cliffhanger, you'll have to buy the book and check tip 74. Synchronicity. The next one I'm going to read from is from The Shape of Things to Come. And this book this was my third book, and it was published by Random House Australia in 1998. So it's now quite an old book. However, it's still around. It's still in libraries. People still buy it. We still have, you can still get it on a kind of rare sites around the world. But I do have only actually about 100 copies left in my house, which I bought from Random House at the time. So you can buy a paperback version from me, but of course the ebook version that we've got, when a book goes officially out of print, which Shape of Things has now after all these years, you get the rights back and you're entitled to create an ebook version. So we have an ebook version of the Random House book, which is exactly the same word for word, and that sells a lot through our website. So if you're interested in The Shape of Things to Come, you can buy it there. There's a whole chapter on synchronicity in this book, and it's also mentioned in lots of other places. And I got really quite involved in revisiting this book, but I've just picked one little tiny bit about synchronicity to read you. And in the paperback version, this is on page 181 in The Shape of Things to Come. All too often, people read synchronicities as green lights which need to be followed. Sometimes this may not be appropriate. Imagine, for example, a man working on a house renovation business. He's just finished a big renovation project, but didn't make the amount of money he had expected. He also worked too much overtime. He's exhausted, but he needs just one more property to renovate, a real gem, the one that will really bring in the kind of dollars he set his mind on. He looks around to see what's available, and he's amazed because every real estate agent he visits tells him about a fire-damaged house that would make a big return for the right renovator. Is this a sign from God? Is it a synchronicity to follow? Our imaginary investor is experiencing synchronicity. His outer world is reflecting his inner world, only he's probably too exhausted to be in touch with the reality of that inner world. He is, of course, burned out, as are the properties being drawn to his attention. Rather than invest in a burned-out house and go round the same cycle of renovation and exhaustion, which obviously hasn't worked to his personal satisfaction so far, he will be better to examine his patterns of work or his expectations of financial returns and approach work from a different angle. Synchronicity, then, is a mirror of what is emerging from the unconscious mind, what is soon to break through into consciousness. It tends to occur at a stage before full consciousness, while by definition it is still inner, still breaking through, and its outer world image is as symbolic as its inner world counterpart. In its purest form, it is an instantaneous reflection, a phenomenon occurring in a world of now, not relating to notions of cause and effect. It is frequently misinterpreted as a signpost towards a better future. It may well herald a sign of the shape of things to come, but whether the signs have to be endorsed by action is a question of free will. And for my last book reading, I've chosen Dream Alchemy. And for those of you that don't have a copy, this book was first published in 2003. It's been in continuous print and demand since then. It was first published by Lothian Books, and then it was bought over. Lothian Books were bought over and republished by Hachette in a second edition format. Hachette, just a couple of years, also created an ebook version which you can buy from Amazon and all the other places where Hachette sell ebooks. This is the book that I get more emails from people about Dream Alchemy saying that they've got dog-eared pages because they just refer to this book so many times. And this is really interesting for me because, as I have shared with you either on podcasts or in blogs in the past, I am writing a new book at the moment, so it's really interesting to go back to some of my old ones. So this is the extract on synchronicity, or one of several, from Dream Alchemy, and I'm reading from page 15, so this is like in the introduction to the book. And it's a little subtitle called Expect Changes and Synchronicities. Expect positive changes to occur in your life just through reading this book. Many of the dreams you will read here deal with life's major processes and rites of passage. The life lessons and insights we gather along the way enrich and transform us personally and spiritually. Reading and contemplating the types of dreams that accompany these processes may trigger profound positive change for you, even if you haven't yet experienced the event or dream yourself. You may experience synchronicities before you finish reading this book. A synchronicity is a coincidence or series of coincidences that are not really coincidences at all. A coincidence is a chance thing, but but a synchronicity feels far too meaningful to be due to chance alone. When you experience a synchronicity, you may feel as though you've got goosebumps. Typically, you are also completely puzzled by what the synchronicity means, even though it feels amazingly meaningful. So what is synchronicity, and why might you experience it while reading this book, Dream Alchemy? Think of synchronicity as being like a dream you have while you're awake. Of course, it's a real event, but think of it as something that needs interpreting like a dream before you can understand it. Synchronicities are events rich in symbolism. If you think of them as everyday events, they are bizarre. If you interpret them as dreams, they make sense. Synchronicity happens to you when something in your unconscious mind shifts and changes, as it will do while you read this book, interpret your dreams, and do your dream alchemy practices. It happens when you are on the verge of an exciting insight, a new understanding about your life. So the idea that occurred to me while I was sorting out those, and it was actually while I was reading The Shape of Things to Come, you know, which, as I say, is such an old book. 1998 is nearly 17 years ago or something like that since that was published, and I really have not dipped into it since then. And as I'm reading it, I was actually thinking, oh, this is quite interesting. I don't know if you're allowed to say that about your own writing, but I thought it was quite interesting. I haven't read the rest of it, but the bits on synchronicity I was reading I thought were quite interesting. And I was beginning to think, oh, maybe I should read out some more of this on the Dream Show. And then I thought, no, that's a silly idea. And anyway, there's so much of it. And then a memory flickered in my mind of a client last week, a regular client, saying to me at the end of her session, oh, I just saw on Facebook that you've got a new blog out. Is it an episode of the Dream Show, or is it one of those things that I've got to read? And I said, oh, I love your honesty. You're so honest. You know, I kind of hoped that I wrote in a style that people would go, oh, you know, it's only two or three paragraphs and I'm going to get so much enjoyment from reading this. But I do understand where she's coming from, particularly reading online. We have, you know, less and less time for actually reading online. I know I do. I know I love reading, and I love reading paperbacks, and I very much don't love reading online at all. So I get that, and I understand that. And the reason I'm being a bit wordy and lengthy about it with you is that if you've listened this far into a Dream Show episode, I know that you're a listener. You may also be a reader, but you obviously love listening and respond to the audio content. So I was thinking, and what I wanted to ask you all individually, and if you'd like to send me a quick email and give me some feedback, that would be great. I'd have to look up the technicalities of how it's done, but would you be interested if I put some of my books out as audiobooks? I know that the files will be extremely huge, and I've got to find ways of making them small, and all I have to do is ask the right people to help me, and that will happen. So would you like, for example, to have The Shape of Things to Come as an audiobook or Dream Alchemy? Now, for me to stand and record those is going to be a very lot of work, a very lot of hard work, an enormous amount of work. And of course, it's going to be a lot of work probably for Michael, who would be the technician to lay down all that audio and make it work. So I'd really only want to do the audiobooks if enough of you put up your hand and say, yeah, I'm really interested in that. So I really encourage you, if you think this would interest you at all, rather than just sit back and go, yeah, that's great, when it comes out, I'll buy it, let me know, because I will probably only do it if enough of you say, yeah, I really want that, and then I know that it's worth the putting in the effort, that it's going to be well received and enjoyed. So that's it. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. And the next episode, 172, will come out on the 11th of December, 2015. Have a wonderful month, have inspirational dreams, and those of you that I don't talk to between now and then, I'll see you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.